This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Larry, you brought shame on our family.
There's something unnatural inside you.
Your family says you grapple with the demon.
If there's a demon in me, it's always been there.
What was it that made you decide you wanted to work on this project?
Well, my producers sent me the script, and at first I was like, oh, a religious story? This is intriguing. And then when I read the script, I just fell in love with it. It had a humanity and a spirituality in it that that I really connected with, and I felt I could really explore this.
She will do God's will.
Why shouldn't she follow me?
People will judge us.
Are we so different from men? You must teach us different things.
That's one of the things I really liked about it, because for Mary Magdalene, she's someone we don't know a lot about from scripture. There's only a handful of verses and there's a lot of assumptions made about what her backstory would be. So it's easy to forget that she was a real young woman who had an entire backstory. How did you work out what her story would be, given that there's a limited amount of information?
Well, I think the writers knew that she was from Magdala, and Magdala was known for being a major fishing town. So that, you know, her family would have been involved with fishing. So I think that was the avenue that the writers took. And we actually went to Magdala in Israel, and because they've just recently discovered a lot of the archaeological evidence there. And it was fascinating to see just how substantial it was. It had like a little harbour and the markets for the fish. And probably the most beautiful thing I saw was the synagogue. Which was pretty amazing. So, we just obviously did as much research as we could of that time and tried to, you know, kind of connect it in with Mary's journey.
Mary, he's waiting. Look.
What shall I teach?
Are we so different from men? You must teach us different things.
We're women. Our lives are not our own.
Mary Magdalene, her voice is, as we've said, limited in the Bible, but you do give in the film an opportunity for a woman's voice to be represented in the gospel story. How do you think a woman's view of the gospel experience would have been different from the men's that we get to hear?
Well, I think the thing that struck me was that women were not free to explore their spiritual calling. I think it was a lot harder for women to do that. So the customs and the laws kind of confined that. It was a patriarchy in many ways. So I think that's what really struck me, where the men were free to explore everything. It just showed me how courageous Mary must have been to follow her calling.
And her story is obviously really central to the ideas that the movie represents. One of those is what the kingdom of God is and what it means, what it looks like on earth. What kind of conclusion does Mary Magdalene come to about what the kingdom of God is?
I think that she never really bought into everyone else's ideas. She kind of felt that didn't feel right. So she was just honoring faith and just totally honoring that process. And what she did discover is that true freedom and liberation can only come through unconditional love. And that God is in us. It's not in some building or temple or person that you, you find God in yourself. And if you can embrace unconditional love, which is probably the hardest thing to do, it's such a simple idea, then, you know, you have access to God.
The women are too afraid to be baptized with the men.
Go to them. Be my hands.
And in preparing the actors for those characters that you're getting them to play, I read that you do something really unique in that you get them to trace one another. Instead of rehearsing lines together, you get them to trace each other. Can you tell us about that process?
Yeah, I suppose what I'm looking for in the performance is something that is just truthful and emotionally connected. So I don't rehearse the scenes. I try and build a relationship. So if there's relationships in the movie, like brothers and sisters, I need to make sure that they... some rehearsals kind of connect that relationship. So we do all sorts of things. And one of the ones that you've obviously read about is how it's, I suppose it's art therapy in many ways, relationship building through art making. And they get to trace each other and paint each other in as they understand that relationship to be. And these paintings really actually do some profound teaching for the actors.
So is there a picture of Joaquin Phoenix and Rooney Mara somewhere hanging on your
no,
wall?
No, Joaquin didn't do it. But I've got Devon Rooney from the last movie, and I've got all the pretty much all the disciples and family traced each other and painted each other.
That's so cool.
It was pretty amazing. Thomas's painting of Mary was pretty brutal.
What do you do with them once you're finished?
I collect them. I have this secret fantasy that, you know, in 20 years' time I can have an exhibition of all of these people. It'd be amazing.
I would love to see that. And Joaquin Phoenix is a really unique choice for Jesus. Originally, when I first saw the film, for some reason it had escaped me that he was playing Jesus. So when he came up on screen, it was such a surprise, such a delight. And his representation of him is really different than some of the stereotypes. What were you trying to achieve with your representation of Jesus?
Well, again, I just wanted to find someone that was struggling between the flesh and the spirit, you know, is both human and divine, and also acknowledge just the responsibility that he held.
And while you touch on some of those scenes that a lot of people, Christian or not, will have heard of, like the marketplace scene and, of course, crucifixion and all of those, there's also an element that's quite different because, unlike a lot of other biblical movies, you didn't choose to just do the gospel message and talk about death and resurrection of Christ. Was there a reason why you didn't kind of explain the why of why Jesus was there and just touched on some of those highlights?
I think in some ways we wanted the audience to discover the lesson, if you know what I mean, not tell them what it is, not tell them the result. They need to discover that themselves in the experience of it. And also it's from Mary's point of view. So in some ways we could kind of avoid a lot of that material we're used to and just see it from a unique point of view. And for me, I think Jesus, there's a part of him that doesn't want to let go of being a human being. You know, he doesn't want to leave the earth. He loves the earth. He loves the humanity. So there's that acknowledgement of the pain of letting that go. But the love that they have for each other is eternal. And to see Mary regain her courage to be the witness and to be there in unconditional love for him, I think is just a remarkable scene.
For someone like yourself who you've said, you know, you've got an interest in sort of spiritual subjects and all of those sorts of things and these characters, what did you learn through the process studying the life of Jesus, imagining what Mary Magdalene's world would have been like? How did it inform your own perspective?
I think it just validated more of what I've always felt. So I got more passionate about it. And, you know, I suppose the message of the film is what I believe in. And like one of the inspirations for me was Malala and how she forgave the Taliban for the attack and how she thanked her father for treating her as a person, not as a woman. And I just think that takes enormous courage from the father and her. And I just think for me, they're real symbols of hope. And that kind of light that I saw in those people, I saw in this story as well. So I don't know, I'm kind of still trying to understand it, but that's why I did it.
Never speak again in his name.
The world will only change as we change. I will not be silent. I will be heard.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.